Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the first section then really goes down through verse 13, although in our preaching we have divided it at between verses 4 and 5. So 1 through 4 is a unit, and then 5 through 13 is a second unit. In the first section, in the preaching in the afternoons, for the last, I guess, 5 weeks or 4 weeks, I don't remember which now, we've looked at what it means to be attendant children. And we saw in a brief review of that there were 8 qualities that children have toward their father, good qualities. And then we had also 8 aspects of godly obedience, of heart obedience that we looked at as well. And those are the hallmarks of what it means to be an attendant child. Then we worked on the thesis, I guess it was for 3 weeks, so maybe 5 sermons in all. We worked on the thesis of, if we were more convinced of God's love, we would be more accepting of his law toward us. We looked at and we took that from especially verses 3 and 4. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. And so we looked at that and we said, God loves us. That's why he gives us his law. And if we were more convinced of God's love toward us, we would be more attentive to his commands. That's the point we made over those 3 sermons. And so we showed the general love of God. We also showed the specific love of God in giving us commands. And we took about 2/3 of one of those sermons to look at the temptation of the devil. And basically, his temptation is to get us to doubt God's love over us, that God's interest for us and our interest are different, that we have a better interest, a better self-interest than God has an interest over us. And so, hath God said, God knows that you'll be like him, and he doesn't like that, and so he doesn't have your best interest at heart, and so on. So those are some of the things that we covered in the first four verses as we looked over that for 5 weeks. I think that foundationally that's a very important series, that once we are convinced of God's love for us, we will be the more receiving of his commandments to us as that which is good. He's given them to us because he loves us. That's the thesis. Okay, so then in 5 through 13, we have much like what we saw in the last chapter when we were looking at what we call the wisdom finder. Here we have the wisdom getter, right? Get wisdom. That's how Solomon begins that section. Get wisdom, get understanding, and there's a bit of an urgency there to his voice. You know, don't get anything else, and get wisdom and get it right away. Post haste, get after it, get wisdom. Be about those things, be about the ways, the paths, the fountains, the places where wisdom is being dispensed. Get there and receive. This is the point that Solomon is making here, that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And so over and again, in much repetition, and really that repetition only heightens the urgency of it all, that we are to get wisdom. Oh, my good beloved brethren, sister, and all of you guys, listen to me very carefully. There are many fountains out there. There are many voices speaking out there. There are all kinds. Only a very few of the voices of folly come with a capital F on their forehead. Folly, folly, folly. Only a very few of them present themselves like that. Mostly, it is presented with great subtlety, as an angel of light, if you will, from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But we must get wisdom. We must not incline to folly. The second thing about this section is that wisdom is personified as female once again. And in so doing, what we are learning is that in these first 9 chapters, there are 2 women that stand at the head of the streets and that cry out, wisdom and folly. And wisdom is always presented as that good woman that we should desire to make our spouse, our wife, who will do us good all the days of our lives. And folly is always represented as that woman that is outlandish, off limits, of another religion, and will bring us to ruin in every case. And so that's why, again, we hear wisdom coupled with the word she. She. Not because there is an inherent gender application to be made there, but his illustration is such in these 9 chapters. And it becomes more explicit as we go along. As we get to chapters 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, you'll see that this is greatly personified, and that metaphor is extended out to very large lengths. All right, so that's verses 1 through 13. Remember also that she is thy life. So we seek wisdom then through instruction, through humility, through counselors, impartially, apart from selfish interest. And in seeking wisdom, then we seek other things we think of as desirable to be given to us in God's good time. In other words, seek wisdom first, and the other things you think you need will be added to you in God's measure when you need them. All right, so then in verses 14 through 19, I don't really want to spend a lot of time on that because that's the way we're going in this afternoon's sermon, but I will tell you this, that once again we enter into one of those large themes in the book of Proverbs where we talk about the different ways. There is a way, there is a path, there is a course, right? There's the course of the wicked, and there's the course of wisdom. There's the course of folly, the course of wisdom. The course of the wicked, the path of the just, and these things are contrasted throughout the book of Proverbs, especially now here, and that's what we'll be looking at for our sermon this afternoon, Lord willing. All right, so then in verses 20 through 28, in the final section of the chapter, the prophet uses the ear, the eyes, the heart, but he's not talking about physical organs. He is after the inner man. He is after the mind. Note that in verse 24, he speaks about our physical nature and declares rather boldly that these ought to be under the government of the heart. They should not be allowed to roam freely. This is that famous passage where he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Jesus says a lot the same thing when he says, "It's not that which goes into the man that defiles the man; it's that which comes out of the man, because out of the heart the abundance of the mouth speaks." And so we must keep our hearts then with all diligence. I think that's probably the next series that we'll look at. We'll look at the heart keeper and how he does that rightly. We could speak on that for quite a long time, couldn't we? There are several books that I can think of by some of our favorite Puritans that are written on keeping the heart, right? Okay, well, thus ends the reading then of Proverbs chapter 4. Let's